First of all, just let me welcome all those who are tuning in online. We're so thankful you are joining us. Whether you're in the room or in your living room, we know God can speak to you. And I want to say this really quick. I just want to say a big thank you. So many of you guys are sharing on social media really all that God is doing at our church. And so we love to hear from you guys because we understand, man, your social media is your voice. So when you use your voice for our church, man, I love that so much. And so if you are posting, don't forget to tag us because we would love to repost what you post. So, hey, just give yourselves a big round of applause. You're doing awesome. And it's working. People are discovering our church, but more importantly, they're discovering the hope of Jesus. And so I'm excited for that. Well, this morning we start a new collection of messages that we're titling Keep God Weird. And so if it ruffles some of your feathers, if you're like, God's not weird, yes, he is. It's all right. We're going to talk about that. And you're going to, like, if you're religious and you're like, how dare they call God weird? And I'm going to explain it to you. Don't worry. Don't get offended. But just embrace it. It'll be all right. And we're going to jump in. So I'm going to jump straight into the Bible, if that's okay. Because if you hang out with us long enough, you know we're Bible people. And so we're going to go straight to God's Word. And it's going to be on the screen for you. But we're going out of the words of Paul to the Corinthian church. And so if you don't understand the Bible, let me give you a little help really quick. These letters on the back end of the New Testament are exactly what I just said. They're letters. They're letters to a church in a region. And so Corinth was a major metropolitan city in the Mediterranean rim. In fact, it was almost like a New York City. Commerce and trade, it was a port city. So you can imagine all the fun things that happened there, like wild kind of nightlife. I mean, everything you wanted when sailors ported, they would be able to go experience. So this is the type of culture and society that Paul's writing into. And he's writing these words right here, and he's writing it to the church. So I want you to hear this. And it says this, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. So that's what he's saying is this. He's saying, hey, people who don't know Jesus, the message of Jesus is foolish. It's silly. It's weird. It's odd. It doesn't make sense. So come on. There's people, even myself included, that have been on this side where it's like, man, this God stuff, I don't know about that. But then he transitions and he says, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy, so this is God saying, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent, right? So anytime you're in a social media war, just say this, I'm destroying the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of the world look foolish, since God, in his wisdom, saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's nonsense, right? But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, all he's saying this, hey, anybody, everybody, whoever you are, right? Anybody who wants to be saved can be saved. That's what he means when he says both Jews and Gentiles. So if you don't know how to act in church, if you don't know how to dress in church, not that there's a dress code, if you don't know how to behave in church, if you don't know how to use Christian language, that's okay. You're welcome here. Christ is the power. Doesn't just has the power, is the power. So I want you to see that. It's not like a possession. It is who he is. Isn't that amazing? Right? The power of God and the wisdom of God. Right? This last bit, and we're going to be done. We're going to pray. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. If you're taking notes this morning, I want to title this message right here, Going Nowhere Fast. Going Nowhere Fast. Come on, how many have ever been going nowhere fast, right? Like, I'm headed nowhere fast. All right, let's pray. God, you have to help us. You got to help me. And God, I pray in Jesus' name that the Cowboys would beat the Atlanta Falcons. Amen. All right. I got the most amens there. So here he's talking, and I want to look at that first verse, verse 18. The message of Jesus is foolish or weird, right? But to those who know Jesus, it's amazing. There's two divides. There's no middle ground. So let me speak to the church first, and then I want to speak to unbelievers. Because I believe that every single week here we should have unbelievers, right? Like, this is not a church just for church people. This is a church for our community. And let me tell you something. Our community, not everybody knows Jesus. Trust me. All right? And I think, first of all, the church, we're tempted to make God normal. We're tempted to normalize, right? And flatten and be like, no, we're totally cool. Like, we're normal people. No, we're not. We're not normal people. We're weird people. Like, come on. Like, and not like bad weird. Come on, y'all been around bad weird, right? Like, just go to Sixth Street. You've been around bad weird, right? Like, but then there's like the good weird. Come on, y'all know good weird? Like, good guacamole was good weird for me, right? Like, the first time I saw it, I was like, I don't know about this, right? And then I tasted it, and my life was changed forever. I was like, I was always a queso guy, and now I'm a guacamole guy, right? But it's a good weird. It kind of looks like snot and weird things, but now it's amazing, right? Okay, it's not in my notes. Okay, what he's saying is that there's two people. There's people who think, right, and if you're a believer, you may have been around this, right? You've never been around, like, in conversation, and like, they don't know you're a believer yet, right? They don't know you're a Jesus person. And you're like talking about life, just chopping it up, like all that kind of stuff. And you know, you're hanging out. And then you just drop something just slightly. And you're like, yeah, we were at church this last weekend. And they're like, whoa, you roll that way. You know, have you ever sensed that? You're kind of like picked up on something like that, right? Or, you know, I was just praying the other way. You pray? Like, okay, like in general, like you were praying you win the lottery, or like you actually think you talk to God, right? Like, you ever been in those situations? Okay. So I think the first thing we need to do for all those who are new to church or don't know Jesus, if you're watching online or in the room, or if somebody told you they would buy you lunch after this and they brought you here, good. I think it's confession time. I think we need to admit to a few things. Christians are weird. Like, we are. Like, and that's okay. We're the good weird. I'm going to explain it, though. Like, let's just look at it from the perspective of people who don't go to church. Wait a minute. So y'all, like, get in a room. And like, you sing some songs. Like, is it a show? No, it's not a show. Is it is it a concert? Like no. Is it karaoke? No, it's not a karaoke. What are you doing then? Well, we sing to Jesus. Oh, yeah. That seems normal. All right, let's go even further. Wait, like, you study a book. Yeah. What, like, who wrote it? Well, lots of people, actually. Oh, really? So humans, well, no, God wrote it. Well, who's John? Well, he was a man. Well, he wrote a part of it. Wait, I thought God wrote it. He did. But also John wrote it, and Matthew, and Mark, and Paul. Wait a minute. Did God write it, or did they write it? Well, both. What? Now, hang on. What's going on? Yeah, we're weird. Okay, so wait a minute. Like, okay, so Roman crucifixion, real thing. I understand that. Not weird. Wait, somebody rose again on the third day? Like, what do you mean rose again? Like, he was crucified? Yeah, he was crucified. So he died. Yeah, he died. But then he came back to life. What? Hang on. Okay, so this same guy, like, he was walking on water. Yeah, he was walking on water. And then another dude got out of a boat and he walked on water too? Yeah, he walked on water. So you can't walk on water, but he can walk on water. But then he fell down and he wasn't walking on water anymore. But then he picked him back up and he was walking on water. Huh. Okay, and you believe all that? Yeah, I believe on that. Huh, okay. And you want me to believe that you're just like a normal person? Yeah, I'm a normal person. Okay. I think it's important for us Christians to admit that we're probably a little weird, right? Okay, so let's go a little further, right? So, like, wait a minute, tongues of fire. Yeah, like, tongues of fire. What is a tongue of fire? Like, has anybody ever heard use that in normal language? Yeah, it was cold outside, so we made a tongue of fire. That's a little weird, right? So wait a minute, tongues of fire rested on people's head. Yeah. What? Hang on. And it didn't singe their, no, it didn't, right? And then they spoke in another language that they didn't, yeah, that's what they did. Okay, now how is that? Listen, like, Christians, can we just admit it? We're weird. Now, all those who don't know Jesus, here's what I want you to do on the count of three. Just take a big, like, we know, we get it, we admit it. We're weird. Anybody say, come on, somebody say, Christians are weird. But how's normal working? How's normal working for you? Let's just take a look at normal. Like, I don't want to be weird. I'll be normal. Right? I know you think you're unique and you're a little snowflake and you're like, my fingerprint is the only fingerprint like my fingerprint. But come on, let's be honest. You're just trying to be normal. I just want to be normal. Normal in our society. I don't know if you've realized, but 2020 has been a rough year. Anybody feel like, man, it's been kind of like a rough year? Right? And so normal is to allow whatever circumstances happen in your world to overwhelm you, and then you get anxiety attacks, and then you have all this kind of stress. You can't sleep. You're worried. You get laid off, and you're freaking out going, man, what in the world? 2020 is crushing me. That's normal, right? That's normal, right? Normal is to do kind of like life outside of God. Normal is kind of to do life on your own way, right? So like you go to that job that you really don't like, or in fact some of you hate, only to live for Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And literally like in the afternoon of Sunday, a mild depression occurs because you're like, oh, I got to go back to a job I hate, right? And I don't have any more Miller Lite. What am I going to do? Right, you don't like your job and it literally is stealing your soul, but that's normal, right? Like you just live for Friday, come on, right? And it's like, yes, the 48 hours of my life, that's where I really live. All the other 5 days, I just make a paycheck, right? That's normal, isn't it, right? Is it normal, right? Like you work at a job that's literally crushing your soul and you're like, that's normal, that's what we do. What about relationships? This is a fun one, right? Let's do relationships a normal way, right? So you sleep around until you find the right sexual chemistry, right? And then to that person you get married, right? It doesn't matter about their values or like what they believe or like anything deeper, right? It's do we connect? Connect in the way you know what I'm talking about. Connect, right? But then you find 3 to 7 years later you don't really like the person you're married to, so you either stay in a marriage that's crushing you and you're just roommates, or you do this. You get a divorce and you go look for some more sexual chemistry, right? Isn't that normal? No? Okay. Normal, normal, normal. Where does normal leading us? You see, or you could look at the financial life of people and they're so debt-strapped because they're trying to keep up with the Joneses. And, well, I have a 2012 Tahoe, and the other soccer moms have a 2019 Tahoe, so we need to go ahead and upgrade our lifestyle. And I'm going to become real good friends with, like, Citibank and, like, MasterCard. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take that balance and flip it to the other card and then take that balance and flip it to the other card. That's normal. How's normal working for you? You see, I think the world is pursuing normal, but it's actually leading them nowhere. So here's what I want to ask you. And I'm really not trying to be like preachy here. I really want to ask you this. And I want to humbly ask you, if you don't know Jesus, I want you to consider this question. Really. And let me take you on just a little walk for the rest of this time together. I want to ask you this. What if weird was actually wonderful? What if weird was actually the most wonderful thing that you could ever experience in your life? And what if we took a look at what normal was and said, I don't know if that's really getting me what I actually want. And what if weird, what you think is total, man, this is weird. What if it's wonderful? You guys remember when social media was like innocent? Like when it first came out and you like posted what you had for lunch and it was like, oh, that's great. They had a salad. Or you posted like your kids doing something fun, right? Or maybe like you went online, you were like, oh, they're on vacation, right? How many times, I know people that like only posted when they went on vacation because like their life was boring. So whenever time they traveled, they were like, look where I'm at this weekend. Ah, right? Remember when like, it was like the frontier of Facebook. It hadn't been tainted yet. It was still like nice. It was still cute. It was still, right? Remember when Instagram was, you were more concerned about the filter you used, right? You know, like Valencia. Like what filter do I want to use on my post of my dog, right? Like it was innocent. It's funny, like now you go on social media and it's like this war, right? This fight. It's like you look and you're like, Ben Shapiro roast liberal, or like BLM calls out conservative. And it's like, man, what? And like it's this big fight where people are throwing rocks. And it's like, I just want your lunch. I don't want your opinions. Like, I just want where you went for vacation. Like, I want to know what you did with your day, not your doctrine, right? And it's like this big fight and everybody's debating and warring and getting angry at one another. And you're like, can we just have 2009 Facebook back? Anybody ever feel that way, right? But that's normal, right? You see, Paul is writing into a climate and a culture like what we're experiencing right now, where it's extremely charged, and everybody is wise. Everybody knows the right answer. And much like kind of on our current social media and our YouTube pages, if you got a phone, you've got the right answer for everything. If we just listen to whatever a person is posting, the world would be solved. And what Paul's writing into is he's saying, like, everybody's wise and everybody's got the right answers. And you even see him here. He said, where are the great debaters, the philosophers, the educators, the intelligence? And he's writing into a culture that really had their academic nose in the air. They were the Greeks. I mean, come on, we invented democracy. We invented philosophy. We invented education. We have invented the Roman gods. All they did was rename them, right? So you got to understand the climate that Paul is writing into. And he's writing and he's saying, hey, listen, I know all you really smart people. I know all these people who you probably have it all figured out. You're Stoics, you know. You block out your emotion. You're able, you know, you follow the teachings of Aristotle. You are extremely educated. You know the way. And he's writing and he's saying, I know that the message of Jesus just sounds really foolish to you. But I think it's important to look at the argument that Paul's making. So he tells the Greeks and he tells the people in the Mediterranean room, he goes, hey, listen, I know Jesus sounds silly to you. It's almost like if he were to tell the news agencies of today, or he was to tell the academics of today, and he was going, hey, listen, I know Ivy League schools, this whole Jesus thing sounds really foolish. But here's what Paul does. You see, Paul does not counter the opposite of foolish, which would be wisdom. He doesn't answer back and he goes, hey, the cross, it seems foolish to those who are perishing, but wisdom to those who know God. He doesn't use wisdom, which would be the opposite of foolish, which would match the argument. What does Paul do? Paul goes, no. For those who don't know Jesus, it's foolish, but to those who do know Jesus, it's power. I want you to see that. So Paul's not trying to match argument with argument, right? Like the world is playing checkers and Paul is playing chess. He's going this. You think that it's just more information that's going to help you. You think it's just more like philosophy that's going to get you there. You think it's more about what you know. No. Jesus is not just about what you know. It's about what you experience. You see, Paul is saying the people who really know, it's not like they got more information. It's they got an encounter with somebody that was beyond them. They experienced something supernatural. You see, God is not about giving you more information. The message of Jesus is about complete and total transformation. It's about taking somebody who was one way and making them totally brand new. It's about taking somebody whose desires were broken and messed up and twisted and normal and making them weird by going, man, I'm a whole new person. I don't even think that way. I don't even want those things anymore. I used to be addicted to those things, and now I'm set free. It wasn't just going, oh, these things are bad for me, I shouldn't do them. It's about total new transformation. Totally new. But I think we live in a society that all we're trying to do is hack life. If I can just get a little more information, if I could hack it, if I could hack my schedule, then I could find time for my kids. If I could hack my relationship, then the marriage would work. If I could hack my finances, then I could actually do it. If I could hack my peace, can I tell you, information is not going to lead you to a better life. Why? Because that's normal. That's normal. Normal is going home and Googling how to have a better marriage. You're going to have like 100,000 results. Which one do you pick? I don't know. You probably pick the best one that you're like, that one. And it's like some 22-year-old from BuzzFeed that gets paid like $12 a word or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You're like, yeah, they know. 7 ways to better peace. Cool, Huffington Post. Thank you. You are so wise. You know, I've sat across a lot of broken people. A lot of broken people. And you know what never works? Information. You ever sat with somebody like really, truly broken? Like, I mean, whatever it is in their life, they're at the end of it. Like if their rope, the end of their rope was no longer the rope, but it was like the thread of the thing that made the rope. You know what I'm talking about? And they're like holding on by tweezers. And they're literally like, this is my last shot. And you sit across from them and you go, I got 5 easy steps. If you just knew this, your life would be better. You know what I've never had happen? Oh, thank you. But you know what I have done? I've sat across broken people. And I sat and I said this may seem weird. I've done it to people who don't even go to our church. I've done it to people I just meet in, like, out the gas station. And I do this, I go, hey, I know this may seem really weird to you, but like, can I just pray for you right now? I know this seems odd and you may think it's foolish, but can I just pray for you? And you know what God can do in about a 45-second prayer? Is you sit with broken people, really. And you go, let me just pray with you. And it's not elaborate, it's just a simple going, God, we need your help right now. God, my friend here, he's at the end. And God, will you come in and will you restore what no Google search can restore? Can you put back together what no more information, like he knows, she knows. You think a drug addict doesn't know it's bad? You think the guy cheating on his wife because his marriage is cold doesn't know it's wrong? The problem is, it's not that he doesn't know. He just doesn't have the strength and the power and the supernatural ability to face the things that's causing him to do those types of things. And here's what I'm going to tell you. The message of Jesus is not more wisdom. It's the very power of God that can take a life so broken, so lost, and in a moment transform them. I stand before you not a man full of information, but a man who was lost, dead, broken, and was transformed by Jesus. So come on, I don't want normal. I don't want normal. Normal's leading nowhere. But what if weird led to wonderful? What if we said normal is leading nowhere? And I want to turn your attention to the scripture that Paul continues to write. He says this, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him. So what God is saying is this, I put a ceiling on how far you can go. With your own ability, with your own intelligence, with your own kind of whatever you can do, I put a glass ceiling. You can't reach it. And here's how I know. Here's how I know. Like people who think that, man, if I just had more money, then I would have whatever. So what's the number for you? 7 figures? Come on, y'all, like, I would love to try in Jesus' name. Like, God, test me in this and know. I will be faithful. But the problem is you get to 7 figures, then you're going to want 8. Then you're going to want 9. How many sexual partners do you need? Right, like how many until you feel loved? How many until you feel the spark? Or how many titles do you need? How many achievements do you need? See, what God is saying is you can stack all that up, but there's always going to be a lid on it. You can chase everything you want in your life, but you're never going to be fulfilled. Why? Because you can't get to me that way. Now, some of you don't call heaven God. You just think of it as like the ideal life. I just had the ideal, whatever ideal is to you. But you chase and you chase and you chase because that's normal. I have this thought for you. And here's what I want to tell you about Jesus. Is that we don't build our way to God, we believe our way to God. Now let me show you this. There's a weird story from the Old Testament. And you guys ever heard the story of the Tower of Babel? Where the languages arrived. That's the story where we got our languages. But here's something really silly. And if you don't know Jesus, it's another weird story that you would look at and be like, that's just weird. A group of people decided, hey, we want to get to God, so we're going to build a really tall tower. Now we look back and we go, that's so dumb. Like, you know, and these are like ancient people. So we look back at them and be like, psh. You don't even have the iPhone, right? Like, you know, you look, that's so dumb. Wait, like you think you're going to get to 10,000 feet and God's going to go, you arrived, welcome. Welcome to heaven. Now here's the deal, y'all. normal people. We're just people from Babel. You see, we're still trying to build our way. We just don't use stones. Come on, see it. And you think, if I get to this certain thing, then I'll make it. And God's going, no. Well, you think I'm going to show up and go, oh, you made it. You see, we're just like the Tower of Babel. We just don't use bricks. We don't use stones. We use achievements. We use reputation. We use the life we want. We use all the things that we think build us. But you can't build your way. That's normal. Weird is to believe. And for some of you, you think believe's too easy. It's too easy. What do you mean? I just say a thing? No. Believe is where you go, God, you are God and I am not. You see, believe is to say this is not a partnership. This is not a co-op. This is not a, like, okay, God, let's do this together. Believe is to go, I could never do it. You got to do it. So I'm giving you the keys, the car, the house, everything you need, right? Like, I'm letting you dictate how I live my life, right? That's weird. You see, the Bible says this, right, that it was the world's wisdom. It was the world's wisdom that thought they could get there. So right now what seems totally normal and totally okay is this. Go to school, get in debt, right, get all your debt in there, and then go get a job, and then feel like you're good stuff because you make $60,000 a year, and you work at a tech company, and it's really good, you're doing life, and then buy a mortgage, right, and buy a house, and do that, and have 2.6 kids, and do the kid thing, right, and then save up for retirement. Build that 401k because you got to retire at 65. And then when you retire at 65, and maybe you got a little cabin on the lake, right? And you're doing life. And then what you're going to do is you're going to go off and you'll breathe your last breath. And what will you leave? You'll leave 80 years of building. That's normal. Weird is to say, this place is not my home. You see, I'm passing through. And while I'm passing through, I want to do the most of it to bring as many people with me because there's a greater place I'm headed to. And I'm going to be in relationship with my Savior. You see, this earthly body is headed somewhere else. So let's look at that. Really, I want to look at three lies of normal. Can we do that? Last, I'm going to be done in just a minute. No, I'm not. But I'm going to tell you to make you feel better. Three lies of normal. I hope you go with me online. Be in the chat. We got to be active in the chat. Let me know you're there. I can see your words right here. I'm kidding. I can't. The first lie of normal is to look in yourself. So whenever you face a challenge bigger than you, normal is just look deep inside for the strength you need. Or you reach a situation of like real anxiety, just look deep into your soul and you'll find peace. You know, like maybe you're facing a problem in your marriage or problem in your home life or problem with a son or daughter or whatever, and they're estranged. And what normal is to just look deep into your heart and you'll find the answers there. Now, let me just show you how normal leads to nowhere. How many of you guys in your kitchen, you have one of those drawers that catches everything? You know what I'm talking about? Like, everything your house has ever accumulated under 2 inches finds its way into that thing. You got every kind of pen, except none of the pens actually work, and they're weird colors. And you're like, when did I actually buy these things? You got candy corn in it from a Halloween that happened like 3 years ago. You know what I'm saying? You got coupons that you're like, man, I should have used that. Oh, it expired in 2014. Like, come on. How many of you guys have one of those drawers where literally everything, it's like the abyss. It's the black hole of stuff. And then sometimes, like, when you need a kitchen utensil, you're like, ooh, maybe in here. And you pull the drawer out, and you're digging around, right? Or maybe you forget your keys, and after you've blamed your kids, not saying it's an actual story, right? You blamed your kids. You're like, where are the kids? You go to the black hole, right? Like, maybe it's in there. I don't know. And come on. How many guys, when you're really mad and really in a hurry, you're not just, like, lightly just perusing. You're like, oh. You're like, Pastor, where's the stuff? Where's my keys, right? But only to find out you're still going to be 15 minutes late because they were in your pocket the whole time, right? Not saying it's a true story. Anyways, can I tell you what normal says? Dig around in that soul. Dig around in that cluttered mess. Dig around and try to find it. But here's what the problem is. You can't. It's not in you. It's not there. So normal says, look in yourself. Weird says, look to God. Look to God. In fact, the scripture here says this, and God's weakness, so God, Paul's being a little sarcastic here. He's being a little sarcastic. He's like, man, he's laughing at the Greeks. He's going, ha, listen, you think you're so strong? When God is at his weakest, he's still stronger than you at your strongest. So here's what I like to say. When God's in a hurry and doesn't have a lot of time to give you advice. Come on, have you ever been around somebody when they give you like a 5-second like drive-by? Yeah, yeah, hey, how's it going? You're right, you know, you ever do that? You ever been around somebody like that? You like want to connect with them, like, hey, bro, hit me up, right? And you don't feel a lot of love? Here's the deal. Even when God, and not that he does, I'm just trying to tell the story. It's kind of hyperbole. Even when God gives you drive-by advice, like you're going like, God, everything is broken. And God's going like, here's what you do. And you're like, oh my goodness, that's what God's saying. He's saying that even at my weakest, even when I'm giving you a drive-by like advice situation, can I tell you, it's better than if you spent a month trying to develop a plan and you're trying to look in yourself and you're trying to figure it all out. Can I tell you that God has strength for you? God has peace for you. God has forgiveness for you. God has whatever you need in your moment. It's not in yourself. It's in him. So here's the deal. Yeah, if you want to look in yourself, do normal. But I think weird could lead to wonderful. Second thing is this, listen to yourself. Second lie of normal, listen to yourself. What do you want?
Well, what I want right now in the moment, I don't know if I could tell you. Come on. Like, what do you want when nobody's looking? See, normal advice is, whatever feels good, do it. Like if it feels good, it's right. You love one another, so yeah, go for it. Right? You have the right to do it. So just listen to your own desires. Listen to your own urges. You ever had this advice? Like, don't think about it. 3, 2, 1, what do you want? I have a tradition that Sunday night football, I always get hot wings and a Diet Coke. Don't preach to me about aspartame. I know. I don't eat hot wings a lot because I'm kind of a spice lightweight. And my nose is still running from the 2 weeks ago or last week because I had it. I mean, like, I'm one of those people, I sweat. You know, I, like, break out in hives. But for whatever reason, I like hot wings. Well, because all the COVID stuff, I was, hours are short. So I'm not like a Buffalo Wild Wings hot wings. I like Wingstop. That's just my personal preference. Like, you can argue with me, whatever. Get behind me, Satan. That's okay. Here's the deal. I like Wingstop. Well, they closed at 7, and because we were doing the kids stuff and all that, and the game came on at 7:20, I was like, man, all right, it's going to close. I can't get it. But I wanted this, so I was still listening to myself. The Holy Spirit was saying, don't do it. Eat some carrots. Don't do it. But I was listening to this is what I want. This is about me and my desires. So I was like, how can I hack hot wings? So don't judge me if you're new to our church. I'm going to be some honest with you, so please don't judge me. This pastor is, I don't know that I can sit under his eloquent teaching. Just trust me. I'm just being real. So I decided, where can I find something that's chicken and crispy? And I went to McDonald's. See, y'all are already judging me. This is what happens when you listen to yourself. You're already preaching for me, right? See, y'all just at the bar on Friday night, you see your hot wing over there, and you're like, that's what I want, right? Okay, let me show you. Hang on. Let me show you. I'm not trying to get in your business, but I did. Anyways, so I went, and I didn't get a 10-piece. I didn't get a 6-piece. I got a 20-piece. Come on. Sean died. I got a 20-piece, and I had some Frank's Red Hot in the fridge. Now, if you don't have Frank's Red Hot, like, if you just got, like, pico de gallo, get out of here. Go home.
So I had Frank's Red Hot, and so I took a bowl and I poured Frank's Red Hot all over it and did a little toss, a little Bobby Flay toss. Got some ranch dressing. Sat down. Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth came on the TV. I was ready. Cowboys, come on. It's going to be good. And in probably about 5 minutes, all 20, destroyed. Gone. It was so good. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. It took about 60 seconds for me to regret my decision. I sat there, and I started sweating in my stomach. I was like, babe, I think I did something really dumb. I'm really going to regret this tonight. Like, I don't know. I know it's cheesy to talk about that. But I think a lot of us, if we were to apply it to our own lives, what's your hot wing? Like, what's the thing that you desire and you're going like, I know this probably might not be the best, but this is what I want. And if I want it, it's right. And if I want it, I'm going to get it. So maybe what you want is on your phone, you know. And you got that site you always go to, you know. Or maybe what you want is when you drive home, you always stop by the store because that store helps you numb yourself from the job that you don't really like. And so you go home, you sit on the couch, you binge watch, and you binge your bottle, and you sit there, and it just helps you get to the next day. What do you want? What's your hot wing? See, normal says to listen to yourself, listen to the desires, because if you want it, it must be right. But here's what's weird. What if we began to listen to God? Because here's the deal. Can I tell you that you have a God that actually wants to talk to you, that wants to speak to you, and he's not silent, but will actually help reshape your desires and reshape the things you want so you don't want hot wings anymore. You want a grilled chicken salad. So you don't want a hookup. You want 40 years of faithful marriage. You don't want a quick fix that's going to wear off and make you pay for it with a hangover. You want peace that goes beyond any chemical. You don't want just a job, right, that pays you a bill so that you can make it to the weekend, so you can enjoy your 40-year hours. Here's what God will do. He'll turn that job that you hate into a mission field where you're affecting people forever. Can I tell you, God wants to talk to you. God wants to talk to you. You see, you used to go to a dead-end job, and now you go to a mission field. Why? Because God was talking to you. You see, three lies of normal. Number one is to look in yourself when you need strength. The second one is to listen to your desires. And the third one is to lead yourself. Like, you're in charge of you. That's normal, right? Like, I'm going to make it my own. Like, this is the way I do it. This is how I live my life. I'm my own boss. I'm a self-made person, right? Like, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I lead myself. It's completely normal. You ever talk to somebody on the street? That sounds totally normal. Yeah, man, that's good, man. I remember there's one of my favorite albums of all times is John Mayer, Live in L.A. And he sings this song. And before, he gets up there and he's like, I'm 30 years old and I've made a lot of things happen for myself. Myself. And he goes over and over. It's one of my favorite albums. And he worships the Lord in there. And he goes over and over again, for myself, for myself. And here's the deal. If we meet people, it sounds totally normal. Yeah, man, like I came from nothing. I went to a college 4 years, paid for my college. I met this, doing this. I met this, right? And you go, yeah, I did all these things for myself. Here's the challenge with that. Like there's a lid that God says is there. And so no matter how much you do for yourself, what you're missing out on is a whole dimension of supernatural experience that God is going, okay, live in Babel. Live in the tower you created. But you're not going to make it to heaven. You're not going to make it to a place where I've got peace, where I got strength, where I got fulfillment, where I got hope, where my family loves to be together, where my marriage is working, where every single day I'm not in a dead-end job, but I'm in a mission field. I'm seeing people change forever, right? So do it for yourself. Go. You see, Paul says this, the foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. So maybe you got a 10-year, 20-year, 30-year plan and you're doing it. I'm saying work it, go for it, do it. But don't just live normal. Be willing to live a little weird. Now, what does weird look like? See, normal is lead yourself. Weird is, God, you're leading me. You know, Carrie Underwood, she sang a famous song, Jesus, Take the Wheel. But I think some of us, we want Jesus to take the wheel, but we want to stay in the driver's seat. You know what I'm saying? Jesus, you're my passenger. Come on, co-pilot. See, what it means is, hang on, Jesus, let me pull over. Let me get out of the front seat. Let me get in the back seat. Here's the keys. Here's my wallet. Here's the insurance. Here's everything I got. You just, where do you want to take me? And Jesus, here's what I promised. I'm not going to be a backseat driver. Can you turn left here, Jesus? I just saw something. Can you, Jesus, just turn. Oh, okay. Here's what the best believers can do. The best. They lay down in the back seat. Jesus, you got it. Because I know you're going to take me where I need to go. And even if I go through storms, and even if we're hydroplaning a little bit, and even though there's a hurricane, Jesus, hey, you're going to lead me through it. Hey, 2020, man, it's been a rough ride. Can you imagine trying to drive 2020 by yourself? Maybe you're trying to do that. Jesus, you got to take it. So let's talk about one more weird and normal situation. Normal is this. Everything in your life, you get what you deserve, right? Like whatever bed you make, you sleep in it. So whatever you do in your life, here's normal. You get what you deserve. You've earned it. You deal with it. You married him. Go home. You took the job. Go do it. Everything. Normal is you get what you deserve. Here's what weird is. And here's the good news of Jesus. Weird is, everything you deserve, I'll take for you. And I'll take it to the cross. And I'll die for you. And I'll take everything you deserved, I'll put it on my own shoulders. Every mistake, every bad hot wing decision, every stupid thing you've done, everything you thought was a wise decision, everything you thought was the right way, I'm going to take it all on me. See, we call those sins. I'm going to take it all on me, and I'm going to die where you should die, because you should get what you deserve. And here's what I'm going to do. It's a weird thing. I know it's weird. And then I'm going to go to hell. I'm going to go to the darkest place that you could have ever gone. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to defeat hell, death, and the grave forever. And here's the deal. I know it's weird. And then I'm going to come back. I'm going to give you something you don't deserve. I'm going to give you life forever. I'm going to give you a love that hell could never touch. I'm going to give you a grace that the enemy could never steal. I'm going to give you peace that no torment could ever rob from you. Why? I know it's weird. Because you're my son and you're my daughter.